An NJOHSP review of terrorism cases in 2016 and 2017 demonstrates that extremists in the West sought employment with private security firms in order to gain weapons experience and access to secure facilities. Stay tuned for this week's episode of Intelligence Unclassified.
This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Welcome back to Season 3 of Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. Join us as we talk to local and national experts in these fields to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on current trends and issues facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Today, I'm here with one of our senior intelligence analysts, Alyssa Potter, to discuss a product that was recently released on NJOHSP's website. So this product really dives into extremists exploiting security positions. It looks at cases from 2016 to 2017 and analyzes a number of variables. So the number of those killed or injured, the status of the perpetrator, what group or ideology they were affiliated with, what weapons they used, and if during the course of their employment they had firearms access or weapons training of any kind. So Alyssa, first and foremost, what inspired you to write this product?
So after Omar Mateen, the Pulse nightclub attack, we started seeing more cases where potential terrorists or these individuals had some kind of affiliation with being private security guards. So we wanted to do a deeper dive into just how many of these people existed out there. And we actually found quite a few, and we even found some more that didn't make it into the product. So it was definitely a trend.
What were your findings after you looked at all these cases?
So I reviewed 6 cases, and although not all security personnel are given weapons training, it does afford credentials, uniforms, and access to restricted areas. So some of these individuals had previous encounters with law enforcement or were on watch lists. All of the men were in their mid to late 20s. Some had experience with firearms, and about half were married with children.
Wow. So were there any patterns pertaining to their motivation of why they would seek out that type of employment?
So most of the employment was short term. Some were dismissed because of behavioral issues or concerns. For example, Omar Mateen was dismissed from the Florida Department of Corrections Academy, but was then employed by a private security guard and then licensed to carry a firearm. So he definitely wanted to pursue some kind of career in law enforcement where he was going to be carrying a weapon. In 2 or 3 of the cases, it was explicit that they intended to exploit their security guard training or uniforms to access areas. One of the London Bridge attackers crashed through a market and then stabbed individuals at random. He actually sought employment at a security firm that specialized in working sporting events. So he was actually looking to get a job at Wimbledon. So obviously a very large mass gathering where he could potentially carry out an attack that would have, you know, massive consequences.
And I feel like we've seen this before, right? So, you know, beyond extremists trying to use these positions to gain access or to gain particular expertise, we've seen it with gangs. I know I've heard will try to, you know, send members to get specialized training.
Right.
In these cases, were there any signs or red flags that, you know, should have been noticed?
In the case of Mateen, definitely there were red flags. So he was dismissed from the Florida Department of Corrections Academy for making, you know, odd statements and concerning statements. The London Bridge attacker as well also had a history of espousing extremist ideology. So yes, there were definitely some red flags out there.
So were most of these people influenced by Salafi jihadist rhetoric, or are there, you know, domestic extremists like white supremacists or black separatists also on this list?
Yes. So we have one case of James Fields Jr. That was the attack in Charlottesville. He had espoused white supremacist ideology. So that was one of the instances. And then the remainder of the cases involved sympathizers of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or a combination of both of them. That was the case of Rahimi right here in New Jersey. And it's worth noting that Rahimi was a security guard in New Jersey, actually very close to our office.
And looking right now at the product, it seems in terms of weapons, there's quite the array. There's firearms, vehicle, edged weapons. It doesn't seem to be a real rhyme or reason. I mean, you would think if somebody was attracted to the security field that they might have more of an affinity for firearms.
Right. I think it's because that not all of the security guards are armed. So it depends in what capacity they're working in. If they're working maybe at a bank, they have a firearm. But if they're working in somewhere like a mall or an amusement park or something like that, they don't have access to weapons and they don't get the weapons training. But again, they have the uniforms, which, you know, make them look more official.
And it's interesting because looking at this, in all but one instance, it looks like the perpetrators, you know, either caused the deaths of people or they injured people. So I'm wondering, I know this product doesn't really dive into it, but if this training makes them more capable to conduct these attacks, so it increases those injuries and those fatalities. Mm-hmm. Are there any similarities in the locations of these particular attacks?
All but one of these attacks were on public assembly or mass gatherings, venues, protests, tourist areas, malls, bars, clubs, outdoor races. So all of those, you know, had that in common. The individual from St. Cloud, Minnesota, who conducted an attack at the mall, wore his security guard uniform to enter the mall without suspicion and attack patrons. So that was one instance where, you know, he exploited that. And another one is Mateen from Florida reportedly scouted out Disney World and Disney Springs several times to conduct an attack prior to deciding to attack the Pulse nightclub. One of the reasons was that Disney Springs is mainly outdoors and doesn't have as much security as, say, Disney World, where you're walking in and your bags are being checked. It's more open. And I believe he thought about putting an IED or something in a garbage can there. So they immediately, you know, rectified that situation.
And realistically, for those that do have experience in the security profession, they're going to understand the limitations of the attack that they're planning, right? So yes. They'll understand, you know, what's an easier or softer target just
Correct.
Based upon their experience. Are most of these individuals still alive? Were they arrested at the scene?
It's about 50-50. So earlier this month, Rahimi was sentenced to several terms of life in prison. So he is not getting out anytime soon. James Fields Jr. and Yusuf Ramadan are currently incarcerated. Both of them were arrested at the end of the summer. So Ramadan was arrested while attempting to fly to Jordan, and that case is still ongoing. So yeah, it's about 50-50. Either they were killed by law enforcement in the midst of the attack, or they're currently incarcerated.
So obviously this lays out kind of a concerning trend. Does OHSP engage with our private sector community to discuss these kind of safety concerns?
Yes. OHSP, the state police, the ROC, they all have outreach and partnerships that go out to the private sector and, you know, relay this information so that we can give them the signs of terrorism if they see anything suspicious. And we encourage them to report it so we do have an idea of what's going on, especially if there was an instance where there was a security guard that was hired. Maybe they were acting funny. Maybe they were asking probing questions. That's something that we would want to know about.
Great. And this is why products like these are so important, because it helps us identify areas where we can, you know, reach out to the public and really encourage the suspicious activity reporting to prevent any instances like this occurring in New Jersey. Thanks so much, Alyssa, for joining us. The link to this product will be along with the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for joining this episode of Intelligence Unclassified. If you have any ideas or suggestions for podcast, please email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Also, we love your feedback. You hated this podcast, you loved this podcast. Please let us know either way so we can make a better listening experience for you. And lastly, follow us on Twitter at NJOHSP.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.